in the book of Jonah, and you know, I don't want to say everything as far as this is the most. You know, I told you of Hosea. This is the strangest book of the Bible because a prophet marries a whore, right? Then I told you of I can't remember what book it was as far as had Hosea. I told you Daniel was the most hated book of the Bible, right? Because of the specific prophecies. I don't want to give a weird name to every book, but when you come to the book of Jonah, because it's a book everybody takes for granted. Oh, I know the story of Jonah. It is the most misaligned. It's the most attacked book in the Bible, because if they can discredit Jonah, then they can discredit the Lord Jesus, because Jesus said Jonah's real. This book has been called a fairy tale. It has been called a dream. It has been called an allegory. Anything but the truth. And it is a true story as far as here that God's given us in the Bible, and it's not supposed to be made light of. It's not a legend. It's not fiction. It's not a fairy tale. It is obviously, praise the Lord, the words of God. Now, when you look at Jonah, before you say, oh, I know all about Jonah, watch this. I'll show you some things this morning I think that'll help you. But Jonah, the word means dove. He was the forerunner. If you want to tie two books together in your reading, Jonah's four chapters, then as you would read your Bible, about 100 years later, several years later, Nahum comes. This is what happens. Jonah preaches a revival. Biggest revival in your Bible in world history takes place in Jonah. The biggest revival in one day. That's one wonderful thing about the book of Jonah. There's many. The whole city of Nineveh gets right. That lasts for about 100 years, and then Nahum is sent to preach to Nineveh. And this time, they're getting judged by God. There's two books in the Minor Prophets where God preaches to Assyria or Nineveh. As a matter of fact, would you just go over a couple of books? If you're in Jonah right now, go to the book of Nahum. We'll come. Just go over a couple of books to the book of Nahum. It's right past Micah. And we'll cover Nahum in a couple of weeks. We'll cover it the week after Christmas, okay, on December 27th. However, look at how Nahum starts. Ready? Watch this. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite, and then three chapters of prophecy begin. What is the book of Nahum about? Everybody, Jonah's revival lasted two generations, that generation and the following one. Then they went back to the way they were. Okay? And you say, what's the story of this? Number one, God gives everybody a chance. God wants everybody to get saved, right? But number two, every generation has to find God for themselves. You understand? Biggest revival takes place, and then about 120 years later, then Nahum comes along and says, y'all have forsaken the God that you once knew. Now judgment's coming. Okay, we'll cover that here in a little bit. Go back now to Jonah. Go back to Jonah. I don't know that there's anything life-changing about what I'm getting ready to tell you, but it is interesting in your Bible, in the Old Testament, Jonah to the Ninevites, Nahum to the Ninevites. They're the only two minor prophets that end in a question. They end in a question mark. Both books. The rest of the books, they don't do that. But that's interesting. You say, what's the relevance? I'm not 100% sure. It's just a similarity being to the same. Let's go through here. Ready? Watch this. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah arose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, stop just for a second. First of all, where is Nineveh? So I drew something up here on a map. If this is the Mediterranean, okay, in blue, Nineveh was over here. You have the Euphrates River, and then you have the Tigris River. Nineveh, the capital of Syria, was 300 miles over here from the Mediterranean. Jonah says, I don't want to preach to Nineveh. I'll tell you why here in just a second. Here's Joppa. This is Galilee, Jordan, Dead Sea, right here. This is the area of what we would call Israel. Joppa's here. He gets in a ship, and he ends up getting swallowed by a whale, and then he's going to have to trek this journey after the whale throws him up. I think his wallet was wet. In other words, he didn't buy a camel. Do you understand? He walked. It's really more than 300 miles. I'm just trying very hard not to exaggerate. But once he got thrown up by the whale, he had to walk over here to Nineveh to eventually preach to it. This is the capital of Syria. Okay? With that in mind, what is the city of Nineveh? Okay? Nineveh was the capital of Syria. It was 60 miles all the way around the city in circumference. If you walked from the front gate all the way around the city, by the time you were back at the front gate, you would have walked 60 miles. It took you 3 days to go all the way around this city. Its walls were 100 feet high. One of the most magnificent cities of ancient world history. On top of those 100-foot high walls, three chariots could ride abreast. That's how wide and thick the walls were. This is the capital of Syria. Most people think, it's not known, but most people think it was a city of around 600,000 people. That's a big city, okay? It is the only book that you're going to read in the prophets. Remember over here as we looked you've got the law, history, the poetical books, and then the prophets starting with Isaiah and going down. It's the only book you're going to read in the prophets that is a personal, it's a personal experience. There's not very much prophecy in this book, not like Obadiah last week. This is why I'm going to destroy you, and this is that I'm going to restore Israel. There's not a whole lot of that in Jonah. That's why most people enjoy reading the book of Jonah, because it reads like a what? Like a story. This is the start. This happened on day one. This happened on day three. And they enjoy, and they're like, oh, I get a lot when I read out of Jonah. It's an easy book to understand. But there's not a lot of prophecy. Somebody came up to me in our church, and they said, you said Jonah doesn't have much prophecy. I've been studying prophecy and Jonah for years, and I think Jonah's filled with prophecy. I said, okay. How much of your Bible is prophecy? All of it, right? Right? However, when I'm talking prophecy, I'm talking this is going to happen in so many years. You understand? The major prophecy of the book of Jonah, Jonah only preached an 8-word sermon. Yet, 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. That's the only sermon he preached. He preached that all day long. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Yet 40... And he preached it all day long. Those were the only words. You got 40 days and God's going to... You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't think he modified it. I think he preached exactly what God... Keep in mind, he'd been in the belly of a whale. I don't think he modified the message at all. I think he preached exactly what God told him to preach. You understand? Then, of course, revival breaks out. You say, why are you saying that? Well, the main prophecy of the book is the picture of Jonah being like the Lord Jesus. And Jesus told us that, okay? Watch this. Would you keep your finger there in Jonah, and let's go to a reference. Go to Matthew chapter 12 and look at verse 38. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to Matthew chapter 12 and look at verse number 38 and watch this. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered, Jesus answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So what happened to Jonah, literally, about 700 years before Jesus died on the cross, would be the same thing. Can I show you the similarities real quick? Watch. Jonah, in chapter 2, gets swallowed by a whale. Chapter 1, in chapter 2, he prays, and it says, out of hell I cried. Jonah, I don't know if he died in the whale or if the whale kept him alive. Either way, it's a miracle. Do you understand? But he's in the belly of the whale, and I think his soul is praying in hell. Just like, and watch this, that don't take this too far. I'm taking Jonah. Now watch, our Savior, he died on the cross, and in those 3 days that his body was in the tomb, where was Jesus? In the heart of the earth. Right? Ephesians chapter 4, before he ascended up on high, he did what? He descended and led captivity captive, right? All the Old Testament saints, Adam, David, Abraham, all of the Old Testament saints that were in the holding tank, not suffering in hell, in paradise. Jesus died on the cross, his body was laid in the tomb, and where did his soul go? His spirit, he went and preached to the captives in hell and led captivity, all the Old Testament saints, led them up to where we go now when we die. Everybody understand? But his body was in the grave. Similarities, do I etch this in stone? All I'm doing is Jesus said, the only sign that you're going to be given until I return again is just like Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man is going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The greatest thing that takes place with us right now, listen closely, is when somebody gets saved. We're not supposed to be... Didn't Jesus say... You know what will get your attention about this? Watch this. Look at verse number 39. But he answered, Jesus, and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. When you hear charlatans and false prophets say, you can tell God's moving here because people are getting healed, and people... The only thing we're supposed to be looking for in a church is people getting saved. Amen. We're not supposed to be saying as far as that to this generation, to our generation. That's the most important part of what we do. Does everybody understand? And somebody says, and I know we don't talk this way, but the world does. False teachers and false prophets. Well, we want a church where God is moving and people are being healed, and then the Pentecostal garbage, the speaking in tongues and all that. We're not supposed to be looking for any of that. Jesus said the greatest thing you can look for and watch for and rejoice in is what? People getting saved. Where is the gospel being preached? What is the gospel? Jesus died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later rose again. And that is the gospel. That, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. That is the power of God. We're not supposed to be looking for miracles. We're not supposed to be looking for spooky stuff. We're supposed to be focused on people getting saved. And Jesus said, if you look for any more than that, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. They're too wrapped up in the spooky and the feeling. And keep your eyes on what is most important, getting people saved. Amen? Now we've seen the prophecy there. Jonah, 700 years before our Savior died on the cross, Jesus references this and says, just like he did it, I'm doing it. Now, did Jonah die in the whale? I don't know. Did he stay alive in the whale? God doesn't tell us. It just says the whale swallowed Jonah, and then God spoke to the whale, and it threw him up. I don't know if Jonah was revived. I don't know if... I do know this. There's been two times in history where men have been swallowed by a whale. In 1881. Let me just read you this real quick. Okay, Oops, I wondered. I knew it was here in the bottom of my Bible. In just a second. Okay. In October of 1927. Oh yeah. Did anybody, sweetie? Where is the offering? Is the offering back there in those things? Can you all pass that to my wife? And then my wife will take a quick count in here. And she'll put that on the offering envelope. Did you get to do that? Wonderful. Oh, thank you. Whatever we're paying you, just double it. Just double it. And give yourself a Christmas bonus. Whatever. Okay, watch this. In October of 1927, the Princeton Review reported that a man was found alive, although he was unconscious, after being in the belly of a whale for 2 days. Okay? Steersman James Bartlett found a man's body intact after he had cut open the stomach of a dead whale on a whaling vessel on August 27th. This is 40 years later, 1881. So that's two people that have been found alive in a Bell's Welly. This person here, the body had turned purple, but live fish swam around the corpse. Okay? So there's been history, not just in your Bible, but there. Somebody said, well, that's impossible. A whale's throat, a whale eats plankton, and its throat is so small, even on the big whales, that a man couldn't fit through it. The stupidest thing. When you read Jonah, here. Look at chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 2. Ready? Watch this. I'm in Jonah. Go to Jonah and look at chapter 1. Look what God tells him, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. Stop, real quick. Where's Tarshish? Tarshish is in Spain. Okay? It's across the Mediterranean, most think, on the other side of the world. Some would say it's related to Tarsus, which is going to be in Asia Minor up here. Either way, it was in the opposite direction of Nineveh. Everybody see that? Okay? Then watch this. So, going to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. So watch this. God sends a storm, and then God sends the storm, right, that stops the moment they throw Jonah overboard. Then watch this. What else did God send in this story? God prepared a great fish, and Jesus called it a whale, right? So it was a whale. Whales are weird because they're fish like dolphins that are considered mammals. You understand? So to me, I don't think it should. In other words, I don't have a problem with that. God prepared a great fish. Then God prepared in chapter 4 a gourd to grow and give Jonah shade. Then God prepared a worm to eat the gourd. And then God prepared a wind. God did a lot in the story of Jonah to get Jonah's attention. Does everybody understand? Well, I think it was all supernatural. I think God led in all of it. He sends the whale first. Let's read here a little bit. But verse number 5. And the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Verse number, so they wake him up, they cast lots, and then look down at verse 8. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of thy and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Watch closely. Jonah tells them, I resigned the ministry because God told me to go preach at Nineveh. He's going to destroy it when I start preaching. 40 days from that time, Nineveh has 40 days, or God's going to destroy it. I don't want to do that, because if they get right, they're going to come down and judge my people, the Hebrews. So I'm going to go to Tarshish. Well, then in the story, it says there, Jonah told them. He told them the whole story. They heard that Nineveh was about to be destroyed. Then they say, well, we can't. They said, how do we stop this? He says, throw me overboard and the wind will quit. Oh, we can't do that. And so they row and they row. Finally, what are we going to do? Lord, forgive us. And they throw him overboard. Then, I don't know how long it took to get swallowed by a whale, but Jonah hits the water, says there was a calm, and then God sent the fish. I don't know if he came straight up. That would have been cool, you know. I don't know. Or if he, I don't know if they saw the fin. I don't know. But I think it would have been neat if, you know, like they do Shamu, you know, Free Willy. I don't know. But they watched Jonah go into the mouth of the whale and then disappear. Well, if you'd been on ship, you would have said, he just died. Right? You would have said, we saw Jonah get swallowed by a whale. We saw God kill him. Where does the ship go? I don't know where they were when the storm hit, but I don't think they were very far. But I think the whale swam to the nearest point on the shore. I don't know how long it took. I don't know if it took a day. It doesn't make any difference to me. They landed the ship, and guess where some of them went? I don't know that all the men went, but guess where some of them went? I think some of them went straight to Nineveh, because Nineveh was the world power at that time. Guess what they said? We had this man on ship, and he said, the creator of the universe is going to, God's angry, and God is going to destroy us, and you have got to do something. No, really, we saw it with our own eyes. We threw him overboard, the storm ceased, a whale came up. I mean, he died, right? You have got to do something. Keep in mind, I don't know how long it says it took for Jonah to get to here, but they had until Jonah got there. Then can you imagine when Jonah walked into the city? He looks like a dead man. He's been in stomach acid and juices for 3 days in a whale. That means his skin is pale. That means there's no color in it. He looks like a nightmare. Part of his hair is missing. Now you picture this, and I don't think when Jonah got thrown up on the beach, I don't think he went, man, I need to shower. I think, wait a second, if you picture being in a whale's belly and you can't see, and that stomach is like right here, I'm claustrophobic. I'd freak out. He was that way for 3 days. And then all of a sudden, out on the beach, I think he may have washed off a little bit, but I think he started walking. Do you know how long it would take for you on foot to go 300 plus miles? If you travel 20 miles a day, how long is a 300 mile journey going to take you? About a month and a half, right? That's 15 days, right? If you go 20, and let's say he got tired, you say, well, how'd he eat? I don't know. I think God provided him for him like he did Elijah. I don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven. If God wanted us to know that, he would have put it in the book. But he walks for about 2 weeks, I think, to here. I think the guys on ship had access to camels and other pieces of transportation. They make it to Nineveh earlier than Jonah does. They're going all through the city. Oh, we got 40. Oh, God's going to kill. And everybody's going, yeah, right. So the storm stopped after, and right. And then imagine when Jonah, his clothes are ragged, his skin is bleached, part of his hair is missing. He comes into the city. He's ticked off. He's not a happy camper. He's not a wonderfully happy preacher. 40 days and Nineveh's going to be destroyed. That's him. That's the guy that died. He's what? Risen from the dead. No wonder revival broke out. Amen? No wonder revival broke out. 40 days, Nineveh's going to be destroyed. 40 days. And it says the greatest revival in history took place in one day. One day. Just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, so our Savior would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And what is it? What's the power of our testimony, of our Christian religion? The resurrection. He's the only one that's conquered death. Muhammad, Buddha, they're all dead. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. That's the power of our religion. That's the you could call it the cornerstone or the main focal point of how we know Jesus saves, because he conquered death. Okay? Now, why did Jonah not go to Nineveh? Many people have said, well, he was prejudiced. He was a Jew and he didn't like the Assyrians. Well, he was backslidden and running from God. I've heard that a lot since I've been saved. Jonah was backslidden. You won't find any of that in the Bible. Jonah plainly says why he didn't go to Nineveh. Could you go to chapter 4? Chapter 4 and look at verse 1, and I'll read verse 2 is what? That now Jonah's preached, the city has gotten right in one day. And watch this, Jonah chapter 4, God tells us why Jonah didn't go. Verse number 1, Jonah 4:1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish. Why did he run? For I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He said, I knew you were going to spare him. I've known that from when you asked me to go preach. Why did Jonah run? Because he did not... If you in your Bible, if you'd like to go look at this later on, would you write down this verse right here? Isaiah 7:17. And then let's look at it. You see, Jonah was a prophet. He knew Isaiah. He knew of the Word of God. And he had heard God say from the prophets, I'm going to send the Assyrians, the king of Assyria, down to judge the northern tribes of Israel. Jonah knew. He knew his Bible. And Jonah said, if I go up and preach to Nineveh and they get right, then God's going to use them to spank my people and conquer my people. I don't think Jonah was backslidden. I don't think this is right, obviously. God didn't let him run. And I don't think Jonah was prejudiced. I think Jonah loved his people. I think Jonah loved the Israelites. And he said, watch this. If I don't go, then God will destroy them, and then God won't come and destroy Israel, right? You see his thinking? It's a little twisted, but that's what he's thinking. I'll quit the ministry. I'm going to go to Tarshish, and I'll let Nineveh get destroyed. Because God said they need to either get right, their wickedness has come up before him. You see his thinking? He knew the Bible. You say, where in the Bible did it say that? Isaiah 7:17. Can you keep your finger there and let's go? Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. If you write it down in your Bible, you can look at it later. But this is what Isaiah had said about the same time. He was preaching about the same time. Jonah was a little earlier. Come on in. Come on in. Isaiah 7, verse 17. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. And then look at the bottom of the verse. Even the king of Assyria. So what would cause Jonah to say, if I go preach, they're going to get right because God's merciful. Probably some revival's going to break out. He had no idea. And then they're going to come down and God's going to use them to judge my people. So I'll just go to Tarshish and let them be destroyed. And then God won't come down and spank Israel. Now we all know the rest of the story, right? But when somebody says, backslidden Jonah, I don't think nobody's going to die and go to hell over that. However, it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. He plainly said, how come he did not want to go? I knew you'd get right. I knew you would help them. I knew you would send revival. I knew you would do a work in their heart. Now Israel is going to be judged, my people. I hope when you read the book of Jonah, it makes more sense to you like that. Now, look at chapter 3. Go back now. You're in Isaiah. You got that verse marked because I want you to be able to look at it later. Ready? Look at Jonah chapter 3. Okay, ready? Now, hopefully. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, and I'm at Jonah 3:2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That means it took 3 days to walk around it. I already showed you that, right? It was a city that was 60 miles in circumference. Then, it says here, verse number 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. What's that mean? A day's journey was about 20 miles. And when you look up Nineveh on the internet, it was 60 miles around it, and some of its streets going straight through the city. There was only one gate in the cities in those days, but that main street was 20 miles long. Guess what he did? He entered the city and started preaching, and he preached all day long. For 20 miles, right through the city. Then the revival breaks out. Now go to Jonah chapter 4. Ready? In it, there's a couple. We'll draw some conclusions here, but let me show you what got God's attention, and I just absolutely love this. Ready? Watch this. Look at Jonah chapter 4 and verse number 10. Let's start at verse 10. Ready? Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. I think this is a funny story. He preaches all day long. Yet 40 days, Nineveh's going to be destroyed. Revival's breaking out. It says people are putting on sackcloth. The king is putting on ashes. The animals, they're taking saddles off the animals and putting dust and ashes and sackcloth on the animals. Then Jonah goes outside the city, sits on the east side, and says, now he's going to wait for 40 days, but nothing happens. What a horrible way to, what a nasty attitude. What a grump. Sits out there, hope fire comes down out of heaven. Nothing happens. He starts to get hot, because it's hot over there, okay? Up to 130 degrees in the daytime. Sun's baking on him. God says, Jonah? He said, do you do well to be angry? He doesn't answer God. I'll show you something in just a second. God sends a gourd, right? Great leaves. Oh, thank you, Lord. Then the next day, a worm comes up. Wagga, 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 wagga. Eats up the whole leaves of the gourd, okay? Jonah gets suicidal. Suicidal over a gourd. You say, are you sure? Look at verse number 8. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said unto Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Do you know how come God put up just a neat little lesson here? It is interesting. Every time Jonah speaks in the book of Jonah, he's angry. Yet God still answers him. Amen. Aren't you glad? How come God puts up with Jonah's anger? Just a little truth here. You ready? Because Jonah was truthful with God. When you get angry with God, you would do much better, like Jonah did, to express your anger than you would to get bitter. When you don't understand what's going on and you're angry, tell God. Jonah did. Be truthful with the Lord. God, my heart's breaking in a million pieces. And Lord, I don't know why this happened. And I don't be truthful with God. I wrote that down in my Bible. How come every time, Jonah, do you do well to be angry? I do well. I wish I was dead. Suicidal. Over a gourd. I wrote that in my Bible. Suicidal over a gourd. Be truthful with the Lord. Ready? Number two, what is it that gets God? It's God's attention. They go through this. Look at verse 11. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons? How do you read those Old Testament wordings? What's a score? 20, right? So 60 would be 6 times 20, right? So it says 60,000, so 120,000. God said, you know what got my attention about Nineveh? One, I have plans for the... God uses wicked people to spank His children, right? Number two, there was 120,000 people in the city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Someone who can't tell their right hand from their left hand, we would normally call a child. Okay? Be up before the age of accountability. Right? You know what caught God's attention about Nineveh? The children did. The children did. That's why I think one of the most wonderful ministries of our church is the bus ministry. Because you know what gets God's attention? Children. Children get saved. The older a person gets, the harder it is for them to get saved. I didn't say older people didn't get saved. I said the older a person gets, the harder their heart gets. Most people, 75% of all people get saved between the ages of 9 and 19. That young age as a teenager. And then as you get older, I've seen men in their 60s get saved. I've only seen a few men in their 70s get saved, but I have seen it. But it's not near as rare. That's much rarer than a group of children, that same number. What is it that gets God's attention? What's some lessons that you can learn from Jonah? Our church, I think the bus ministry is very important. That's why we put $2,200 into each bus, and then we put $700 in paint on each bus, and it's money invested. You say, but we're not getting any money back from those bus kids, and we probably won't. We didn't do it for that. We did it because true religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, what? Visiting the widows in their affliction and the fatherless. James chapter 1, right? That's true religion. It's what can you do for others, not what can others do for you. What caught God's attention? The children in the book of Jonah. I hope as you read it, it's only 4 chapters, pretty short. I hope you can enjoy it and maybe make, a little bit more out of it, and the Lord can speak to your heart.